Welcome to the Innovation in Music Education podcast, brought to you by NAFME's Council for Innovations. This podcast is your gateway to groundbreaking ideas shaping the future of music education. In each episode, we sit down with visionary music educators who are redefining what's possible, focusing on emerging ensembles such as world and popular music, as well as digital media and technology-driven instruction. The NAFME Council for Innovation strives to identify, promote, and expand forward-thinking approaches that transform curricular and pedagogy. Our mission is to ensure that every student receives a high-quality, engaging, and relevant music education. Join us as we explore new sounds, new tools, and new ways to inspire the next generation of musicians. Let's innovate together. Good evening, everybody. My name is Dr. Shane Calhoun, Chair of the Innovation Council for NAFME, and I'm here with our Northwest Division Representative, Brent Barker, and his guest and our guest, Andrew Thompson, and we're going to talk about innovative practices in music education. So, Brent, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Well, thank you for introducing us and finding Andrew Thompson. Andrew, how's everything going with you?
It's going great. Thanks for inviting me to be here. Happy to talk music anytime, especially innovative music.
What's the weather like over there?
It's February right now. So it snowed last week and now it's like 40 degrees and rainy, which is par for the course in the Portland area. So
okay, does the summer get super hot? I've never been to Oregon.
A little bit. It gets a little toasty, but it's nice and mild, kind of like they say. It's kind of like the people. Everyone's very chill. The weather's very chill. So that's kind of how we do it here.
Gotcha. So as we said, the goal of this podcast is just to, there's a lot of innovative work going on in music education and modern band, music technology, more cultural ensembles. And we wanted to get the voices of the people that were actually doing the work. So we have tasked each region, each NAFME region, with the task of finding people within their region who are doing the work. And we're just going to sit down and have a conversation. So Brett, I'll throw to you here if you wanted to get us going and ask Andrew the first question for the pod.
Right on. I'm Brett Barker. I'm the Northwest representative to the NAFME Innovations Council. I teach music at Minico High School in Southern Idaho. And we're here with Andrew Thompson. Andrew teaches at Aloha High School in Beaverton, Oregon. Andrew, could you tell us just a little bit about your background, your upbringing in music, a little bit of history of how you came to be in your current position?
Yeah. I actually, it's a funny thing. It's spelled A-L-O-H-A. It's actually pronounced Aloha. Don't ask me why. I don't know. But that's, you'd think Aloha because that's how it's spelled. But yeah, I'm actually in the kind of rare, cool occurrence where I teach at the school that I graduated from. So I grew up here in Aloha. And then I went to college in Arizona and studied classical music and music education, trombone specifically. And then taught middle school band for a couple of years, moved to Chicago and got my master's in jazz studies and stayed there and taught high school band at a private school at Fenwick High School in Oak Park for 8 years. Moved back to Portland just before the pandemic. I actually taught math, long story there, for another day. And then while I was teaching math, I sort of fell into this position of being the director of the music studio program here at Aloha, which was I'm the first director of and is totally brand new. Oh, well, it's 4 years old now, but was brand new when I started it. So, yeah. So I'm a trained classical and jazz musician and found my way through 10 years of being a band director into teaching modern band, basically, and music production. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. Tell us some more about the school you're at. What music courses do you offer at your school? Maybe a little bit about the general demographics of the student body population.
Yeah, we're a Title I school. We're a very diverse population. We have lots of kids from lots of different backgrounds. I think we have something like, I'm not 100% sure, something like 30 different native languages spoken in our building, which is pretty cool. I teach full-time. When I started, my first year was only part-time, but now I teach full-time. I teach three classes instrumental music studio, which is basically a modern band class. Students learn fundamentals on drums, guitar, bass, ukulele, and keyboards, and then they get to basically choose an instrument and do self-selected projects. They organize into bands or they do stuff on their own. And then just kind of, that's a one semester class. It's sort of the fundamental modern band class that we have. It's named Music Studio because in the course catalog for our school district, the name of the class was the defaulted to Instrumental Music Studio. So that's why we sort of dubbed it the Music Studio program. Anyway, and then I have a Instrumental Music Studio 2 class, which is basically the same thing, but full year for my more committed and interested students. And they do essentially the same thing. They sort of self-select on an instrument. A lot of them sort into bands. Some of them just learn stuff on their own. They'll write songs. They produce music. They'll, play songs together. We do all kinds of things like that. And so that's my second main class, which is full year for the first time this year, which is very exciting. I just started teaching music production this semester, actually. I'm only a couple of weeks into that adventure. Been using Soundtrap and working with my students on navigating a DAW and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
So you said you started the program.
Yeah.
Essentially, you're the director and you started the program. What prepared you to be able to teach these courses, and how did you end up down the path of the director of the, what was titled, music studio class? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, great question. So there's a kind of a long story. I'll give the sort of maybe medium version of how the thing came about. It's a long time in the making, first of all. So when I went here, my band director and mentor, his name's G. Bundy, he had since moved on and wasn't teaching anymore, but was in a leadership position in the school district, along with my old counselor from Aloha, who was also in a leadership position of the school district and still is actually at the school. They had been angling to try to get something like this happening for years. They had asked 15 years ago and were shot down numerous times. Fast forward to the pandemic, there was ESSER grant funds available for summer school here in Beaverton. And basically the school district, in this crazy, miraculous, perfect storm of events, was like, asked anyone who had any cool ideas to engage kids in school, anybody? And they were like ready to go and very well connected. And she, Casey Ferens, happened to be the director of the summer school program. So she was in the perfect position to push that forward, and then sort of teamed up with G to sort of make that happen. I was teaching math at the time, but I know them very well. I was a part of that first summer school experience. They basically gave us like $150,000. We swung for the fences, and they said yes. We were so surprised that they said yes. We were like, weren't even ready. So we were just like, we got to spend as much as we can as soon as possible. We just bought a whole bunch of great gear, and ran the coolest summer school ever here at Aloha, and then at another one of our district schools. That happened to also perfectly coincide with the Instrumental Music Studio class already being on the schedule for the following year because of a past choir director. And so I just applied for that job. It was part-time to begin with. And we happened to have all this cool stuff. And so we just said, well, let's just take all this stuff here. And now that what was going to be basically a acoustic guitar and ukulele class became a whole fully stocked modern band program ready to go, which was just, I recognize, as an incredible miracle. So
yeah,
very grateful.
So the class was in place and you added, out of necessity because of COVID, the summer program.
Yep.
So then the two kind of morphed together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and the vision for this came from your administration. So has it helped or increase the enrollment and participation in your music program in your school? How has that changed since adding the modern band to the program?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a fully, alive and well full-time band program and choir program, and we've added students to that instead of taking them away. I know that can be kind of a touchy point for a lot of folks who maybe aren't so modern band friendly or don't think that they are yet.
Yeah.
For example, I have a student who's a senior now. She'd never played an instrument before in her life, took my class. It's like, oh, I really like playing drums. And then I was like, oh, you like playing drums? Meet Miss Jackson, the band director. And now she plays in jazz band. And another example of a student that I have is a junior, and he was like, oh, I like to sing. I think I want to sing while I play guitar. I was like, have you ever taken choir? And, you know, now she's in choir. So we've definitely added students, because most of the students that start off taking this class are ones who weren't already interested in our traditional options. And so, you know, once we kind of hook them with music and sort of get them in the door, we can kind of, you know, help find the right place, help them find the right place for them. So.
So you actually saw the reverse of what people say is going to happen,
100%.
which that's actually been my experience, where we think that it will take away from our traditional programs. But once you get them in the door, they want more music, because it's almost like we're selling them on us as people, as educators.
Yeah,
that's really.
Yeah. Well, that's 100% the case. I mean, we're just getting more music to more kids is what I always like to say. I mean, you know, even in a band program or in a band / choir / orchestra program that's completely crushing it, they're only really getting 30 or 40, maybe 40, which would be a lot.
Hey, listen, stop causing problems here. Stop causing problems here.
Is that too hot for TV? Too hot for the podcast? Sorry.
No, that's exactly what, I mean, it's the truth. You know, in literature, it says the other 20%. I mean, excuse me, I messed that up last week too. In literature, it says the other 80%.
Right.
So essentially 20% of kids are receiving music in school. So you're 100% right. And we agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been transformative. I mean, so many kids. I also find that we have a lot of students who are a lot of more of the students that are, school is not their jam, let's say, you know, so a lot of my students end up being the ones who, this is their thing, the thing that brings them to school. I've had students tell me more than once, we have a lot of kids that work a lot, like 30, 40 hours a week in some cases. And some kids would be like, you know, Mr. Thompson, like, I wasn't going to come to school today, except I know I had your class. So I woke up and came to school. So, you know, and that's happened more than once. And that's less about me than it is about the fact that they have access to this, you know, music education that really speaks to them. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that experience you've had of adding more kids to the program as opposed to drawing them away from the other aspects of it has been my experience with my own as well. Reaching those kids that otherwise would not be in concert band or marching band or choir, orchestra, any of that.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you showcase or present what students have learned and created in your classes?
Because we came out of COVID and the whole thing was birthed out of it, and because I thought we should just have a different model, we don't do concerts or traditional performances of any type. That was a sort of intentional choice I went with. Part of that, again, was from the beginning. So many kids that were so nervous just in general about being in school and everything. And I was like, we're not going to start. And it's actually been, it's been great. We don't do official concerts. I don't make students in my classes perform. However, I give them lots of opportunities to do that, you know, and in ways big and small. We have, on the small end, you know, we perform for each other in class in little duo, you know, play one song for one kid, or you know, play in a group of four, or every Friday in my upper level class we'll have basically open mic and have anybody that wants to play whatever they're working on play. I have a Wednesday after school club, which is basically open classroom time for students to come in and practice and play together and so forth. And about two weeks a month we'll do an open mic then too, which gives a lot of kids an outlet. We started a series of lunchtime concerts. We've been doing them around the school. Next one, we're going to try inside of my classroom and see how that goes for some students who are interested. And then sort of on the top of our exposure, we have the Aloha Living Room concerts. You can look us up on YouTube, our YouTube channel, where we work in conjunction with our CTE film program and live record concerts sort of in a sort of tiny desk concert-like environment, where we do a concert in the classroom here and then, you know, record it, and the kids learn, do a lot of the editing, and they do the, you know, setting up and the tearing down and the production and the post, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's a pretty cool thing. And that's a combination of some professionals in our community and then also some students who are ready for prime time, kind of. So yeah, not required performance, but encouraged and certainly nudge those kids along. So yeah.
I love that. Have you had any your program has been going for a few years now. Have you had any students go on, graduate from high school and play in advanced education or in the community or online?
Yeah, I have a student graduated a couple years ago who's in the middle of auditions for popular music programs. She really wants to go to LA. It's Sophia Nava. She's a terrifically talented young person who joined us, came straight from Venezuela and now is following her dream of playing music, which is really cool. I have a student who graduated last spring who signed a record deal before he graduated.
Wow.
His name's Emmanuel Garcia. He plays regional Mexican music, which is extremely popular with our student population. He grew up playing it with his older brothers. He's an incredibly talented dude. You can look him up wherever you find your music. He's doing great, and we're really, really, really proud of him here. So
that is interesting. So you've had kids essentially start a career in music prior to.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
totally.
We all probably came up in the 1900s and did music education then. Do you remember ever being pushed in a direction, either of you, where being anything, I guess, other than a music teacher was like a possibility? But I don't remember that it was ever put to me that it's possible to do all of these things in music outside of band. And maybe that was just my experience.
Yeah, maybe as a performer, that seemed like kind of a vague but almost unattainable.
Yeah.
Like in the classical sense of like, oh, you could practice a lot and get an orchestra job or something, but
yeah.
But no, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, outside of how we're trained.
I went to opera camp in high school.
Nice.
Completely different world now.
Really? Okay. So how far did that take you? And I'm not saying that in a knocking manner, but how far did you go with that side of your musicianship?
Well, it got me into my undergrad program for sure.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was a big factor on where I am today, but I tell you, I'm not doing opera daily.
I don't know how I missed that in your bio.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
I don't think I disclosed that, to be totally honest.
Well, hey, here you go. They heard it here first.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's funny that kid Emmanuel who signed the record deal there, you know, he of course was already playing when he got here. You know, I can't claim, you know, I just helped shepherd him along on a small part of his journey, but he was already playing. And it was funny because, you know, a kid who's like that, he's so charismatic, and he was just playing in the lunchroom, like singing songs and serenading everyone and, you know, whooping up a love riot basically. And I'd come to him and be like, dude, like you should take my class. You can just come in and play guitar and like work on your songs and perform. And he's like, he like didn't believe me at first. You know, he was like, but what do I really have to do? I was like, no, you can just come in and play some songs with us and then for a few minutes, and then you can go do your thing and record and write. And he was like, it took him a long time to like actually believe that was a viable. It was so out of the ordinary. It was like he didn't even think it was true at first, which I think is sadly says a lot, but is also cool that we have that option for him and kids like him. So
I had another one, but Brett, I'll throw to you. I had another question, but I'll go to you first.
Okay. I think we're kind of already in a roundabout way of talking about this, but can you speak any more to how your courses have helped foster inclusivity or creativity in your students?
I mean, Whew, that's a big one. so many ways. How many? Let's see. I mean, we, in my classroom, you know, one of our counselors came in the other day and made this comment that I thought was pretty cool. It said, when she comes into this room, she sees Aloha High School. It's like going into the hallways. We're a very diverse school, and you get all the different kids, right? With all the different cultural backgrounds and all the different languages and all the different everything. You know, I have a ton of kids in our specialized programs. We have 5 different specialized programs. You know, I get a lot of those kids in my room. I get a lot of our ELL students who are brand new to the United States, who, you know, don't speak any English and are just starting to learn. I had a whole class of newcomers, which is students who know basically zero English. And that's my class is a popular one for the counselors to throw them into, because it's, you know, of course, pretty tactile and, you know, is easy to work with a kid who doesn't speak the language and so forth. So, I mean, in terms of inclusivity, I think we cast a wide net and get everyone, right? Everyone that's not already included in our band and choir programs. And sorry, what was the other part of the question other than inclusivity?
Creativity. You mentioned a little bit about writing or recording.
Yeah. We do songwriting in every one of my classes. I mean, in music production is a little bit different, of course, but that's a lot of song building, I guess. So there's a whole lot of that. We do a lot of talking about, you know, some basic theory concepts and then letting them sort of play with that stuff. Like, okay, here's, you know, 4 chords on ukulele. Now you roll a dice and mix them up, and then let's add a Dr. Seuss poem on top or your own lyrics or whatever. So we do all kinds of, I mean, that's just one of the many examples. I give kids lots of freedom to explore the things they want to explore. And then, you know, we do some activities together to sort of help nudge them in directions maybe that they wouldn't already be leaning. So, yeah.
What is the relationship like with your colleagues? And I don't want it to assume that it's adversary, because I'm not, but like, how do you fit into the grand scheme with the other traditional ensembles on campus? And what is that relationship like between you and your counterparts?
Oh, we're besties. Yeah. They're great. They totally get it. Our band director, Aaliyah, is awesome and is totally supportive, and has actually sent a couple students my way, in just like I've sent many her way. They're big advocates for the program. They totally, and our choir director, Andrea, same thing. And they totally recognize that we are, for the most part, serving different populations to start with, but that we're all just after the same thing, just getting all the kids in the door and then trying to get them as much music and get them connected with each other and with school and as much as possible. So I'm very lucky. I have great colleagues, and our theater director, Curdo, is the same. They are totally in support of what we do, and, you know, it's great. I have awesome colleagues.
That's awesome.
Thank goodness.
Kudos to them, and kudos to y'all for making it work. And I like what you said earlier, more kids, more music. That's the goal. Nothing is bad. Is we just want as many kids as possible doing this thing called music. I mean, like, in today's environment, the highlight of my days is no longer Facebook. It's being in the music classroom, making music, watching the learning, and watching the enjoyment and the fulfillment that we all get out of music. Awesome.
Andrew, if there's a music teacher out there listening to this and they're kind of on the fence about doing something like modern band or music production class, what advice would you have for them to get started?
My advice would be to not think that you have to do everything at once. There are so many ways to get started, in just little ways. When I was a traditional band director outside Chicago, I did like a 20% time project, similar line like the Google model, where you take one day a week and kids can pick whatever they want. So I had kids dragging guitars and teaching each other instruments and all kinds of things. You know, there are things like that you can do, and there are so many great resources that are available online now to do anything. If you have a couple of ukuleles, or you have one kid, if you have, you know, there are all kinds of great online tutorials through Music Will and all kinds of other places on the internet where you can get stuff. Or you can just, you know, start with songwriting. That's something you can do really on any instrument. There's stuff like the Chord Player, which is a free, you just Google it, it's free. You can do that and write lyrics to songs. The Willis Wonderland Foundation has amazing songwriting curriculum that's free, totally easy to implement with like no planning. So I would just say that, you know, find something that interests you and just like try it. You don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel, or that you have to, you know, do it all right away. Just even one thing that hooks a kid and gets them maybe interested in one other aspect of music that they're not already getting in your room is, you know, that's a win. More music to more kids.
I'm always fascinated by the song lists of our students. And I think sometimes even when we're going down these rabbit holes of modern band, and I think I presented about this, you were in there this summer, that we get caught up in our repertoire for modern band. What, like this year so far, this semester, what has your song list looked like?
Of what I've been playing for the students, or what we've been playing together, or? Oh my gosh, it's so wide range. In one class, I'll have kids playing Alice in Chains, Nutshell. I have kids playing Intro by Junior H. I have kids playing Lana Del Rey. I have kids playing Taylor Swift. I've got kids making beats to try to sound like Kendrick Lamar or Drake, maybe. not necessarily rapping their stuff, but you know what I mean? Like in that vein. I have kids playing the Eagles and the Beatles, kids playing Metallica.
So I'm imagining,
I'm sure I'm missing.
I'm imagining, you know, all of this stuff, right? So how are you as the educator balancing all of that in if you're teaching, how are you managing that as the educator in the room, or facilitator as we prefer to be?
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is I don't know all the songs and I don't know all the music, you know, I lean on them, and just definitely a facilitating thing. I guess that's another thing. It's like, what advice would I have for someone? Don't feel like you have to know everything. I didn't play guitar. I played some bass functionally that I did in grad school and professionally a little bit, but you know, I've been learning along with my students. A lot of all my best guitarists are way better than me. So it's a matter of sort of, leaning on my colleagues in the community, because I still play music professionally, and leaning on my colleagues in the community and like, hey, how do you, you know, what should you do with your hand here? And what, you know, show me some exercises to work on this and that kind of stuff, to, you know, flesh out what knowledge I have to sort of help guide them on the way. But yeah, I don't know all the songs. I definitely see myself as a facilitator, and I listen to, you know, listen with big ears and with empathy, and just try to guide them along the path, and also teach them to self-assess. And you know, we talk about sort of fundamental tools around how to use a metronome, which is an important thing no matter what style you want to be working in, right? Or you know, volume, and thinking about form and how that informs how you're going to play, right? Don't play the verse exactly the same as you're going to play the chorus, maybe. Let's listen to how that sounds in a song that you like, or this song that you're playing, or whatever. So yeah, it's a facilitation role more than anything, just trying to get help the kids along the journey and sort of learn about the music and learn the music along with them, which they respond to, which is really cool.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. All right. I said it all. I said all the words.
This is great.
There are no words left.
I don't know about you guys, but as we were going through the process, I felt myself getting excited, because I felt like we're doing the thing and we're having the right conversations. And we thank you for hopping on. Brett, did you have any other questions or comments you wanted to add?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I echo that. I think I feel like a little bit of an island out here. There's
yes,
quite a drive to the next modern band or next, you know, anything non-traditional school situation from here. So it's been really great to talk to you, Andrew, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's wonderful to talk modern band with folks, because similarly, I'm the only full-time high school program in Oregon like this, so it's quite a drive to run into another modern band person as well, but it's a delight. Love talking shop.